there.
Yes.
All right, Fred. Thanks for taking time out to talk to me. And I know, you know, it's been a tough time for the tennis industry, but we're going to try to take your mind off what's going on and talk about your background and go down memory lane right here, okay?
Always love to do that.
Okay. So tell us about, you know, growing up in a tennis family and the tennis center at Mill Creek when you were growing up.
Well, I'll even back up a little bit further. I kind of remember my tennis days starting at Philmont Country Club. My dad was the summer pro from 1965 to 1970, and I remember practicing on the little wall that seemed big at the time, but when I go there and visit now, it's so small, hard to believe. But from there is where I kind of got my love for the game, and, you know, my parents then decided to stay here in Philadelphia and building Mill Creek, which was just a wonderful, like, Disney World for tennis, in my eyes.
Yeah.
But, and just great family memories, and, you know.
And was your dad your teaching pro?
So my dad and my uncle were really the main ones. My grandfather also helped out and involved in that. My mother was more, she did coach me because she did go to the tournaments more than my uncle and my dad.
Okay, and how many siblings do you have?
So I have two younger sisters, Michelle and then Amy. They both played tennis. Michelle did pretty good herself. She was able to make it to the Nationals in the 14s and did well in high school, but just never pursued it, you know, anything further than that.
Okay. And where were you raised? What town?
So, Feasterville. So, we're right in the town of Feasterville, Pennsylvania.
Okay. And when did you start playing national tournaments?
So, I started playing in 1975. In fact, I just asked Ben Grisless to look up some tournament draws, and one of them was the Boys National Hard Courts in Dallas, Texas. I got my ass kicked by Peter Mako.
Okay, so you were 12?
Yeah, I was in the 12 and under. It's my second year. I was able to make it to the national.
Okay, what was your middle states ranking back then?
So at the time of the nationals, I was number 5, and then at the end of the year, I was number 9.
Okay, and that was in the middle states?
Middle states, yes.
Okay, so when was your first, like, you know, national ranking, what age group?
So it wasn't until the 16 and unders. The 14 and unders were dark days for me. Did not do well. I did get to play 2 nationals and only won 1 match in the 14 circle. But really my first ranking was in an alphabetical ranking, I guess, in the first year of the 16 and unders. I don't even know what the numbers were, like 80 to 100, something like that.
Okay.
But the following year, much better year, I was ranked number 30.
Tell me about some of the top kids in the country you were playing against back then.
Well, it was Todd Witzkin was one of them, Anthony Emerson, Roy Emerson's son, Jimmy Brown, lost to him in Kalamazoo my last year. But no famous names that made it on the tour. You know, Matt Anger, Eric Morita,
yeah.
Those guys.
Those are
John Levine, Tom Fontana. He's a New Jersey guy, Tommy.
Yep. And so let me tell you, me and my father entered I think it was called the Equitable Father and Son Tournament. It was a national, I guess, father and son tournament, and the winners were going to play off to go to Forest Hills. And so we won our section up in New Jersey, and I was 17, and I guess my dad was 50, and we took a drive down to the Philadelphia area. I had never been down there, and I get on the court, and I'm watching this kid next to me. He's sort of built, you know. And he's hitting the crap out of the ball, and I'm thinking, I'm glad we're not playing them. And that turned out to be you and your dad. Your memories of that tournament and what happened?
Well, it was a great time. Dad and I were playing some of the tournaments. And my, you know, we sponsored the tournament at the club, the Equitable Family Challenge. And we end up winning the tournament, actually beating the Mercers in the finals and to New York to play. But the Mercers complained that my father was a teaching pro, and he was deemed back to be an amateur, but he gave money to the Pros Association, so they put his name in as, you know, one of the pros. So we got disqualified because of that. So the Mercers ended up going, and we've always had rub with the Mercers because of it, and we've played them many, many times afterwards. So, that was the end of the road. I have the trophy in the basement with that tournament, but it didn't get us to New York. But later on, my parents did the husband and wife part of it, and they did go to New York. So
okay, so that's the first time I laid eyes on you, and then So tell me about the 18s, that age group.
So one of the great things was I'm originally from Pompano Beach, Florida, and my grandmother and grandfather lived down there in the wintertime, and we had the great idea to see if we could drop out of school up here, my family, my sisters and I, and we moved to Pompano, and I would do that right after the National Indoors and then stay there until the beginning of March. And just a lot of great people to practice with down there, and it really elevated my game. I was practicing with George Bezecny and another guy, Robert Saguso, who turned out to be pretty good.
Pretty good.
But from that, it helped to season me to go back out there. And in my last year, the 18-unders, really enjoyed it. I lost to Todd Witzkin, third round of the indoors. Went to the semifinals of the consolation of the hard courts and lost to George Bezecny. But just wonderful, seasoning of it. And I got ranked, I was 26th in the USTA after that year. And luckily, I had to finish another year of high school because I had a bad tennis birthday. So I was able to play in the Junior U.S. Open. Other guys were either in college or have moved on. So I was very excited. My roommate was Rick Leach, and he was just a young kid at the time and had just beaten him at the National Grass Courts. I get to see the draw, and unfortunately I played the first seed in the first round, and it was Miroslav Natchir. Oh, my gosh. Never heard of him. Pat Cash was seeded number two, and... so I just go in with, I don't know who this guy is. But had a good match. The first set I felt like was over in like 15, 20 minutes. And from there I settled in and I end up winning the second set. I won 7-5. And next thing you know, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm beating the first seed. And then, boom, I lose 6-2. So,
okay.
But it was a wonderful experience to be up there, at the Open. It's the only time I ever played officially at the site.
Okay.
Never was able to play in the big boys.
What was his nickname? The Big Cat? Basically.
I think it was the Big Cat or the Swede Killer. The Swede Killer or something. But
right.
He was the Cat.
Big Cat. Okay. And so tell us about your college recruiting,
So while I was in high school, a year before I was eligible to go to college, my uncle, Bill Perrin, got the job at the University of South Florida. And I was very interested in listening to what he had, but I was getting courted by Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, and Cal Berkeley. Those were the teams that were after me. To go there, and I had decided that I wanted to go to South Florida because I would play pretty high right away, and I wasn't sure that school was going to be a good fit for me, and I didn't know how long that would last. So I was able to graduate high school a half a year early just based on credits. So my senior year of high school, I finished in December and went down to Florida and played in the Orange Bowl. And then went up to the University of South Florida. So I decided to go to South Florida.
Yep.
best decision for me. I spent 2 years there and played the number one on and off with the guy from Chicago. The next year I played number one the whole year. And again, the beauty of it was that everybody came to Florida, all the schools, and we really didn't have to travel very much. So it was a nice thing to not have to travel.
Okay, and you won some championships in college, right?
So, yeah, so I won the Sun Belt double title my first year, and I lost in the finals of the singles at the number two position. But the following year, I came back, and I won the Florida Intercollegiates at the University of Florida. And the only guy that wasn't there was the University of Miami. Christo Stein was his name.
Right.
So then the next tournament, they sent us up to the University of Georgia, where it was nine states competing to go to, I guess, the Princeton Indoor. First and second would get to go. Well, I end up playing Christo Stein in the quarters and I'll be in three sets. So
all
I
right.
decided that I've beaten everybody in Florida at that point. So then I end up losing the guy from South Alabama. Al Mahomey, not a household name, but really, really great player. I would have played Paul Anacon in the final, but no matter. No trip to Princeton for me. But from that, those two tournaments that actually put me on the rankings was around, I think, 42.
All right.
Which I was shocked.
Wow, that's awesome. When did you decide to try the pro circuit?
So after the second year, while we were in, we finished our first year of school, this gentleman, Jim Hawkins, was my doubles partner from Chicago. We were able to play in a local tournament, and if you won the doubles tournament, you got the wild card into the $75,000 event in Tampa. So Jim and I win the event, and we go in, and we play John Alexander and Cliff Fletcher from Australia in the first round. And, I mean, I know John of him. And we end up winning in a tiebreaker in the third set. So for me, I went from possibly just getting one computer point at that point. We picked up seven. So now we're in the quarterfinals, and we are playing Brian Gottfried and Hank Sister, who I know a lot about, both of these two gentlemen. Meanwhile, I'm 18 years old.
Yeah.
So we end up losing the first set at 6-3, and we lost my serve right off the bat because I was pooping in my pants. So from there, we started to settle in, and we end up breaking Hank Sister to win the second set. And we're like, we're in this. So we're on serve the whole way, and my partner Jim is serving with us down 4-5, and he started getting like rubber arm, and he just fell apart, and we end up losing that game. So losing 6-4 in the third. But what a match with, you know, Brian was number three in the world in singles at the time. And so for me, it was a thrill. But from there, we got the itch. We went out in the summer and we picked up a singles point and another doubles point. But the following year, Jim hurt himself and we really didn't get to play a lot of doubles, but that's why I played number one the whole way. Basically, I was more interested in seeing how far I could go with this because I really knew that I was going to come back to Mill Creek and run the club and inherit it with the family. And I said, let's just go ahead and take a shot at playing the tour. So in January of 84, I left and went off, and I was supposed to go with Jim, but he still was still injured. So I went off on the road.
Yeah, so tell us some of the places you went to. I know you played some international tournaments, so take us through that.
Yeah. So in January of 84, I leave and I go to London and basically I played a few tournaments there and I played a few in France. Just kind of getting my feet wet. There was nothing going on in the U.S. It started in Florida, which would have been in March of 84. So basically, you would run all these $10,000 future events, and because there was nothing else going on, everybody was there. You talk about qualifying was 256, and 16 people got in. I mean, you did win four matches, I think, for a 128-man draw. I never did well in Florida. It was always on clay. I liked the hard courts or the faster surfaces. So, but it was something to do. I mean, you know, it was Jimmy Arias is out there as a young kid, and he's just starting. But Brad Gilbert was all he was out there as well. But I would say that most of the tour was all the 10,000s, and I had done that for the two summers prior, 82 and 83. So 84, I knew what was going on. But it was a struggle because a lot of them were on clay, and I couldn't really afford to stay in Europe all that long. But I went back in the fall of 84 and did well. I met Joe Lightsey, who was a player from the University of Kentucky, who I just actually talked with last week. Okay. I played 5 weeks. And who else was joining us? Mr. Joshua Sarner. He was awesome.
Yes, and didn't you play Josh in France?
I did. I played in the last round of qualifying in Belgium in a little town called Waregem. And it was one of my finest moments because it was on red clay. And I think I beat him in straight sets, which was a tough match, but I knew that was his stuff.
Yeah.
But from there, then I was able to get in the main draw, and I ended up winning two rounds, losing in the quarters, and I picked up another couple of points at that point. And Joe and I finished in the top 10 in doubles. I think we picked up 10 points. So the points were starting to add up, but my singles, it was tough. You know, I mean, I would qualify, but I would have a hard time winning those first rounds or so. But again, doubles seemed to come very, very easy for me. But the following year is when I really tried to play a little bit bigger. I went to Schenectady, New York. It was a $35,000 challenger. I end up losing to Laird Dunlop in the last round of qualies. And if I had won, I would have played Patrick McEnroe. Would have been great. But we end up getting to the finals of the doubles, Norm and I picked up 15 points. And he's saying, look, we got to go play the big stuff. So we took off and went to Indianapolis, which was the U.S. Clay Court Championships.
Yeah.
And we end up playing Rick Leach and Mark Wooldridge. And we're up in the third set. I'm serving, and my brain starts like, hey, I really feel like I belong here, and I'm going to make it. I'm going to actually do something with this. Lost my serve. We lose 8-6 in the third. And it's just one of those moments where, yes, if you do lose your concentration, it can break you. It'll take you different places. But Lessons learned.
Yeah, so quickly, tell us about the time the New York Times chronicled your near arrest at a satellite tournament.
Yeah, so one of the things was, and you found it, we were in Long Island, and I guess the New York Times reporter was going around talking to a bunch of players, so he asked me one of the kooky stories, and this was the first summer that I was out. We were in Little Rock, Arkansas. I had a big van that had enough that we could sleep two people in it. And it was me and Tom Warnicke from Lakeland, Florida, who were sleeping in the van. And then we were actually leaving the next morning to go to St. Joe, Missouri. The car, I guess we get a knock on the window, and the cop, you know, it's about 1 o'clock in the morning, and he wants to know what we're doing here. We told him we're in the tennis tournament, we're at the park, and okay, I'll let everybody know that you're here. So it's about 3:30 in the morning. All of a sudden, you hear the PA announcement, you know, this is the police. Come out with your hands up. And then Tom and I come out of the van, and the whole van is surrounded by cops. They got the guns drawn. They thought we were on drugs and passed out in the park. So kind of a frightening story, but one to talk about for a long time, but so this guy printed it, I guess, in the New York Times.
Yeah, I found that one. That was one of my better finds. So
that was great.
So I guess after the tour, you went back and you were teaching back at Mill Creek, right?
So once I decided to leave, it was after 2 years, pretty much full time, being on the road from March till about October-ish, late October. And I had just had enough, I guess, of the life of it. And so I go home and start to teach and manage the club with my family, just like, you know, what I had kind of planned. And, you know, after several years, you know, my dad's like, hey, why don't we try and play the Father's Don? And this was in 1989. We decided to play the National Grass Courts, and that was the only tournament we decided to play. So we get into the tournament and win our first round. We win our second round from a guy in Florida, and, you know, my dad knows him. His name's Bill Lenore. And Bill Lenore, I didn't know. I think he won Kalamazoo. I think he was top in the country. We barely beat them. But the following match, we played this team called the Gorskys, and we don't know who they are. Well, they're seeded like three. And we took them out in straight sets, but they were number one in the country like the year before.
Wow.
So we end up then playing Mike Leach and his father, and Mike was top 10 in the world in doubles and number one in college from Michigan. And we beat them, I think, in three sets for sure, but might have been a breaker. And then we end up losing to the Coats in the semis. Very exciting. And we won the third and fourth playoffs, so we came in third. But everybody's like, why are you not going to Cincinnati? Well, we're just playing this one for fun. So that was the beginning of it. But the following year we come back, finish third in the grass courts, and we go to Cincinnati, and we end up winning Cincinnati, which was a huge thrill for me, you know, with my dad.
Yeah.
And just, you know, just the quality of the time for the week, you know, of being kind of on the road and just being with him all the time. He lives in Florida at that time, and now I'm up here in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, so you...
Wonderful.
That's great. So you finished number two in the country that year, right?
So finished number two in the country, and then we got invited to play in the football tournament in Nashville, and if you win or runner-up, it was a Remington Family Challenge. You get an all-expense-paid trip to a world championship. And so Dad and I traveled down there. We lose in the finals to the Van Lingens, and we go to Austria. And just, again, my father had never been out of the country. So for him, it was just a magical week.
Yeah,
never been. And everything's taken care of. I mean, I lived in youth hostels when I was up there. You know, I'm living in a hotel and having to wear a suit to dinner. That's not what I was used to, but...
Yeah,
wonderful times to be, you know, to be with him. And we did fine. We won a couple rounds in the main draw, and then we lost in the finals of the consolation. So we finished sixth.
Yeah. So you and I connected almost on a fluke.
Yeah.
It's been about maybe over 10 years ago.
Yep.
My friend Billy Telesco, who I grew up with, his daughter was taking soccer clinic at Mill Creek.
At Mill Creek, yes.
Yeah, and I guess he started, you know, he would talk to you and said he had a friend that played tennis, and that friend turned out to be me. And then I, in turn, recruited you for our Atlantic Coast Cup teams, which if the people listening don't know, it's an intersectional team that the Middle State sponsored. It's high-level, national-level players from each section play each other. We do it once a year, and the winners go off with this huge cup, and they engrave the winning team's names on that cup. And when I became captain, the Middle States had never been on that cup. So my first tour of duty was to recruit the best players in the Middle States. And when I heard I was talking to Fred Perrin, he was my first invite. So Freddie, I got Freddie. I take credit for getting you back into senior tennis, actually.
Absolutely, and I look forward to it every year.
Yeah, and you know, that first year that we won it, when we beat New England, you know, I had Ewan, Sarner, and Kremins, the Hoffmans, Jay Marenberg, Mike Sass. We got Kwan. And you were the backbone of some of those, you know, of those wins, especially the last day. You and Peterson won a huge doubles match at the number one spot, and we finally got on that trophy. And I think you've been on three of those trophies, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm losing track, but it's so much fun to see the guys travel a little bit, kind of like you used to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, but We'll have to wait this year a little longer. Hopefully we can get it in September, I know. Probably still a question.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going to happen this year, but we had a blast last year down in Maryland, and hopefully we can, you know, after this is over, get back to it. So I just want to, I got a couple more questions for you. So I've played doubles with dozens and dozens of guys, but you have one of the best temperaments that I've ever played with. You know, you're just a pleasure to play with. I still can't forget the match points we had, not the set points we had against Blessing and Hoffman, and then that one still haunts me. But besides that, it's all been good.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But Josh Jarner has a question for you. He wants you to tell us about the doubles match between Josh and Kevin Glickman against your dad and your uncle.
Okay. So, my dad has always told this little, he had a story where a guy wanted to challenge him, and I think Josh and Kevin were very confident in their abilities, and I guess the 14 and unders, and felt that they could compete with my dad and my uncle in a doubles match. So, my dad says, well, listen, I'll do this for you. I'm going to give you a 6-0 lead. And then in the second set, it's going to be 5-love. He says, I'm going to serve, and the score is 15-40. He says, and I'm going to bet you that you don't get more than 2 points. And they're going crazy. Let's go. Bring it on.
Yeah.
So they go out there. My dad gets ready to serve. He misses his first serve. And they're like, this is getting better. My dad double faults. And they're going, we won. I don't believe it. And I said, well, the bet was you wouldn't get 2 points. You only got one. And he just, you know, because Josh is, he knows a lot of how to do things, and he couldn't figure that one out until it was over.
They didn't teach him that in law school, right? Yeah.
No, that would have been a good trick in law school, but love Josh for that story, because my dad, you know, he did it to me as well. So
that's the case. Yeah, so anyway, last thing, Fred, tell us just what your, when you go back to work, where you work, and a little about what you were doing before the pandemic. So.
Sure. So right now I live up in Chalfont near Doylestown, and I've had the pleasure of working at Philadelphia Sports Club, which most people know as High Point. And basically I'm the tennis director there for the last 2 years. And really enjoying it. My daughter plays. The beauty is that, you know, I only live about 2 miles from it, so it really allows me to bring her there right after school and just kind of hanging out with me and, you know, doing her tennis thing. Club's doing well. I mean, they have a very heavy fitness membership. The tennis is starting to grow back, but they do things a little bit different there, where you pay a monthly fee. And then there are no court fees, indoors or out. So, you know, not a lot of clubs. I mean, that's a dangerous thing, I think, for some clubs, where people who play a lot could play every day. They've got to see what you can do. But, you know, but like I said, this is, it's been a great thing. I've really enjoyed it. I've been able to get my time back to the point where I can play the events with you.
Yeah,
and travel. And that's really what I want to be able to do, is have the ability to kind of have some freedom to move around and play a little bit. Well, I still can. You know, my fear is that you get hurt and you can't play. I've had a few injuries this past year, but all in all, we're good now.
Okay, well, you know, we hope you and all the local tennis pros get back to work real soon. And, you know, I just thank you for spending some time going down your path. You're an accomplished player, but even better than that, you're just a terrific guy, and it's always a pleasure to see you and have the honor of playing with you with a bunch of matches, so that always is great. So
my pleasure, Mike. I just, you know, enjoy the company of all you guys, so thank you, and hopefully you can keep it going.
Okay, buddy, we'll talk soon.
You bet. Thank you.